Well, I don't think it's a question of reminding colleagues. After all, this book is made up of about 36 speeches that I've delivered over the last 5 years. I mean, what amazes me in a way is that anyone should be surprised to hear the arguments, except that when they read the newspapers, they don't actually get much coverage. Political speeches, particularly from Labour Party people, are not covered about issues. They're mainly personalities. Most of the media in this country have been diverted away from arguments onto personalities. But it is true, of course, that it's coming out just before the Labour Party conference. And I'm glad about that, because this is a very important conference at which we're going to be talking about our future, not only the future of the Labour Party, of course, but the future of Britain. And so I'm pleased, clearly, that it is coming out at this moment.
You mentioned the media. How concerned are you that, as your editor Chris Mullin puts it, your case doesn't find adequate expression in our free press?
Well, I'm not complaining myself personally, because I do have lots of opportunities like this one, of course, to speak directly to people. But I do think that the media play a very dominant role in British politics. I think they concentrate almost exclusively on personalities.
Is that wrong?
Oh, yes, of course it is, because politics is about choices in a democracy. People ought to be able to hear the arguments of different people and then make up their minds. It's not a football match or a heavyweight boxing championship. It's about choices. What sort of society do we want to spend money on, a health service, or do we want to have tax cuts for better off people? Now, that's a much more important argument than who should hold what office in what government.
And but I would it attract the readers?
Oh, well, of course, people are desperately interested in the prospects for their children at school, for their old people in health, for their country. Of course, they're tremendously interested. And I think the media do distort in favour of personalities. Secondly, I think the media are, in general, hostile to Labour as against capital. I'm not talking about Labour or Conservative, but I do think the amount of coverage given to the interests of capital against the interests of Labour, BBC, what old money programme, Financial World Tonight, whereas you won't find the same detailed consideration given to the problems of people at work. And thirdly, of course, the power to select what issues to discuss and what issues not to discuss does greatly shape the thinking of people at home. If you're always discussing strikes rather than industrial accidents, for example, or discussing disputes rather than the number of people who miss work because of bronchitis, then people will get an idea that the real problem is one, whereas in fact there may be a bigger problem. Those are the issues, and I have dealt with them a little bit in the book.
Yes, indeed. Your views come through very strongly in the book. And in one part of it, you maintain that Britain is fast learning the ways in which democratic socialism can save the country, and yet Britain has just voted a Conservative government to power.
Well, in a slump, people get very frightened. And that is a characteristic we saw in the 1930s. It was when there were 6 million people out of work in Germany in 1932, of course, that Hitler came to power. And I think one of the things that is really worrying, at least worrying to me and a lot of other people, is that as our industry declines and decays, shipbuilding, aircraft, motor cars, motorbikes, machine tools, electronics, steel, as they decline, the prospects of unemployment rising 2, 3, 4 million people rises, and when people are frightened, they do tend to look to the right for a strong right-wing leader. On the other hand, thoughtful people ask themselves why, and that's why in the 1930s you had these two movements. You had the overwhelming Conservative victories in the elections, but the Labour Party thinking out how to get back to full employment and build a welfare state, which was the foundation of the 1945 Labour victory. So I think one has to see it in depth and not just the surface symptoms of what's happened.
Nonetheless, some of the things you've mentioned have been happening while a socialist government was in power.
Oh, yes, I agree. And I think this is one of the reasons why I'm glad the book is, the speeches are getting coverage now, because, frankly, whoever is in power at a time when a capitalist society is in decline is going to be driven by international pressures like the IMF, International Monetary Fund, to try and see to it that working people pay the price for this. And I think the argument, therefore, again, you see, it isn't about who's in power, it's about what policies you pursue. Even a Labour government in power can be driven to pursue policies that are in some respect more conservative than they would like. So this is why it's terribly important to get down to the real problem, which is what's happening to our economy, and not to be diverted into who happens to be at the Department of Industry or number 10 Downing Street at any one moment. That's less important.